السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أحسن جزاك الله. We won't need to do it again today, inshallah. As is our custom, let us remember those departed souls who were with us last Muharram. They're not with us today. In all the marhumin of those who are present in this assembly, Al-Fatiha.
Allahumma salli ala.
أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبو القاسم محمد. ومن المحبين إطرة الطاهرين. أما بعد، قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وفركانه الحميد وقوله الحق، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون. صلوات Mumineen, we continue with our journey of unleashing the human potential and to be the best of creation that we have been designed to be. Tonight, I'd like to address a subject which has a very valuable commodity. And that valuable commodity is time. In the ayah that I began with, we are told that never shall you achieve righteousness unless you give something out of that which you love. Not just give anything, but to actually give something that you truly love and value. And this is the spirit of Karbala, that the Shuhada gave what was dearest to them, their own lives. Today, as we gather, we commemorate the tragedy of Karbala. We come here and we give our time, he says, other things, to come and pay our tribute and to pay respects. So we are part of that to say that we are also trying to get towards that righteousness because we are spending something that is very valuable to us. And sometimes we do not value time enough. And inshallah tonight I'd like to focus on the value of time. We began this journey looking at how Karbala can be an instrument of reform. We looked at the power of intentional living. We discussed the power of critical thinking. And tonight I would like to discuss as to how time can be the capital of life. And inshallah we'll go through the various subjects that we have. So as I said, you know, what is the most valuable thing to us? Some people may say my property, my assets, my money, my children, my family, and all these things are valuable. But as I try and submit to you this evening, that none of these things would actually have been acquired had it not been for the time that we have been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say the time on in our life on this planet. Everything is done within the span of time because all our affairs are actually conducted within the space of time in what we may call real time. It could be, you know, food, clothing, fabulous homes, health and wealth, all that you want. None of these would have any value if you did not have the time to either enjoy them or to actually have them or have the time to possess them. And when we sit and sometimes We don't, and it is for that reason in Surah Al-Asr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by time. And the whole idea is that we are told that verily man is in a state of loss. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. That the juxtaposition of the Holy Quran in terms of these two terms of time and loss are very, very poignant when we sit back and reflect, and as we discussed a few days ago, that we do some critical thinking around it. The Mufassireen of all Muslim schools have given different interpretations, varied interpretations, and all of them have a lot of credibility in terms of what is meant by the term, you know, well, asr. What is it? Is it the end of time? Some of us believe, the Mufassirin have said, that this is the time of the zuhur of Imam Zamana Ajallahu Faraja Ta'ala. Some of us have said that this is indeed the time, the end of time. There are many different interpretations, but here what we want to do is that when you look at the word of Asr, it actually implies the continuity of time. The idea of that time from the beginning. And literally, the scholars of Arabic will actually correct me if I'm wrong here, but it says that literally the word asr means to actually wring something out. You know, when you are trying to rinse the water out of a towel, you're actually wringing it and bringing out the water. So it's really saying the unfolding of the future by squeezing time. So there are many different interpretations. What is important is to realize the value of time. And in the society that we live in, be it California, be it Texas or any other state, be it any part of the Western world, and now in the globalized world that we live in, everybody has this on the tip of their tongue. I have no time. You ask somebody to do something, I have no time. The little boy or girl in the house is asked, can you do this? I have no time, mom. It's always on our mind. No time, no time, no time. Well, we have gadgets that can save us time. Things that we could do, we would take us days, we can now accomplish literally in seconds. And yet, we tend to be busier than ever. We tend to be have lives which are more hectic than ever. So we need to sit back and reflect. And here, I don't know whether you can see this chart. I apologize for the graphic. But if you watch closely, it says that we spend approximately 29 years out of 81 years of our life working. We spend about 24 years sleeping, for example, and so on and so forth. It tells you that today we spend about 3.5 years online through our 81 years of life. We actually spend something like 2.5 years actually waiting for doing something. My question is, and if you go, and I'm happy to share this graphic for those who want to reflect on it, as to how much time we use throughout an 81 year span of life. The question is, here, what they did not put down is how many years of our life do we spend on ibadah? And that is a question, muhasibah, that we need to ask ourselves. We spend over 3 years eating out of that 81 years. So this is the span of how we actually use our time. I thought this would be interesting for us to reflect as to how valuable time is. But then, Imam alayhi salam have taught us many things. And it is not only the ahadith in terms of fact that we derive from the Imam alayhi salam. They have taught us life skills. If only we were to look into the corpus of ahadith of the Imam alayhi salam, you will find some wonderful things, be it to do with eating, nutrition, be it to do with time management, be it to do with how you spend your time. And here I'd like to share with you that Imam Al-Kazim al-Islam has said, divide your time in four parts. These are the words of Imam. He said, one quarter should be supplications and ibadah to Allah. One quarter should be for earning a living. And he said a quarter should be spending time with the trusted people who can show you your defects, your true friends, who can help you improve, and who can treat you sincerely. That means that we build a community where we come here and we are spending the time with people that we trust. We will spend time with people who will tell us if we have faults, they will sincerely tell us to correct our faults. They will be sincere, they will be helpful to us. It's so very important, in this day and age, when we are all so busy and our communication is that we no longer have real friends. We have 5,000 friends on Facebook, but we cannot really claim that we have three good friends in terms of friendship as we know it many a times. Because now we live behind our screens. The entire energy of being together is sometimes cut off. It is the assemblies like this which gives us the blessing of having the energy from each other so we can come together, we can actually help each other, and truly the idea of spending that time becomes so very important. And lastly, of course, Imam says that you should also spend a quarter of your time in legal pleasures. It is not haram to play sports. It is not frowned to do something that you like to have pleasure with, as long as that pleasure is legal pleasure. So this is a clear prescription from Imam al-Islam to say how do we spend our time. And I go back to the words of the Blessed Prophet of Islam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, he said, and I quote, that value five things before five. One, he said, value your youth before old age. We all, as I said the other day, that youth is a phase we go through. It's not an entity. But continue to, when he says value your youth, that means you use your time while you're young to do as much good and as much personal development as you can, and do things that you are able to do while you are still young. You do not have to wait a whole time to say, when I become old, I'll go for Hajj, for example. If you can do Hajj while you are young, you can afford to do it, then do it, because you'll be able to do it much better, because it won't be that much of a burden to actually go and do the ahkam of Hajj. As you age, of course, our limbs become a little weaker, the way we walk becomes a little slower. This is the aging process. Some people in my profession do not like to use the word aging. They use a new term now, which is very positive. He said, we are gracing. We're not aging, we are gracing. So whatever it may be, as we grace, we walk with a little bit more grace, slowly. And that's how it goes. But this is the period of youth. So the Prophet says, value your youth before old age. And he says, value your health before sickness. This is all happening in real time. Value your health. I go ahead with all my great fatty diet and the lovely foods. And today we were having lunch with a respected brother. And he said, you know what? Somebody told him that every food that you enjoy cannot be good for you, it's bad. So, and that was the corollary. The point is that you go ahead with whatever you do, and then when you suddenly get that pain in the chest, and you go to the cardiologist, and he tells you your arteries are now blocked, and now you need to go do exercise, or you get your first attack, and suddenly you become a very good human being and start exercising. Well, if you only had exercised, and I am more guilty of that than anyone else here, that if we were to value our health before we get sickness. And then the Blessed Prophet said, in terms of what is relevant for today's lecture, is value your free time before you get occupied. If you have some free time, use it wisely. When you have that vacation time, when you have that free time, do not fritter it away. That's what the Prophet is telling us. And of course he's saying, value your wealth, use it well, because you don't know when poverty may strike you. So this is really time management, is indeed life management. And finally, to encompass all these things, the Blessed Prophet said, appreciate and value your life before death, to make use of it. So I just want to share with you very briefly a lesson in time management that I learned many years ago, and it has stuck with me for all these years. What you see here is a bottle with some rocks in it. Can anybody tell me whether this jar is full? No, it's not full. Some say it's full, some say it's not full. So, if we were to put some small pebbles into this jar, which has got rocks, do you think we'll have some pebbles that will fit in?
Yes.
Absolutely. So you put some more pebbles, and this is what the professor was teaching, say you put some pebbles in, and they will somehow get in. Is the jar full? No. The jar still has some space. So if you pick up some sand, and you put that sand into it, the sand will actually work into the crevices between the pebbles and the rocks, and you'll be able to add some sand to it. Is a jar full? No. Water. You still have some more. Right, you actually put some
water
so that the jar now becomes completely full. What does this exercise illustrate to us? First is, and this is us, when I said no time, no matter how busy we are, we can always fit some tasks into our schedule. Especially when we do something good, Shaitan is telling you, you don't have time. The thing that's in it, to say, I'm busy. But you know, when you look at volunteers, and I have been a serial volunteer all my life doing whatever I could, and when I see that the busiest people become the best volunteers, they actually put in that time because they're utilizing their time. But there's a bigger lesson to be learned. And that is that if we do not get our priorities right, if we don't get our values straight, and if we do not attend to the biggest things of value first, we'll never be able to fill them all in at all. Imagine if you had done this in a reverse way. If we had put the sand in first, if we had put in the smaller pebbles in, we would not be able to fit in all those many stones that would be in that jar because we had done it in a reverse fashion. That means it teaches us that time management also has something to do with the priorities. So, Mominin, it's all about priorities, whether they're rocks, pebbles, sand or water. Question is, what do we attribute these priorities to? To our work, to our children, to our family, to spending time on the internet, surfing, all kinds of things. And the biggest question is that in this whole scheme, that in the jar, the big rocks, the priority that we are looking at, where does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fit into this? Which is the pebble? Is it the pebble? Is it a stone? I am going to determine that myself. I submit to you that Allah is the actual jar, because everything that we do is for His pleasure, for qurbatan in Allah. And that truly is a profound lesson in time management as well as priority. Salaam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
So what we do is, this is a gift from our Creator, and its proper use will determine our outcome for eternity. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib al-Islam has said, amongst the various things, when you are asked, what is the sign of the people of wisdom? He said numerous things. But the two things that are pertinent here are, he said, earn for this dunya, this world, for the time that you're going to live on this planet, and earn for Akhirah, for the time that you're going to live in Akhirah. And this truly is something that the proper use of that time here is going to determine our priority. So many a times we actually have our priorities wrong. We mourn over the loss of some small things, while we have no regrets whatsoever when we lose the most precious thing that we have, which is time. If only, people say, you know, time is money. They don't really mean it. Because if they really meant it, when you say time is money, then they would not squander it the way we do. And talking about money, and I know that all the eyes will perk up to say when you say, show me the money, especially in America, it's every time, show me the money. There is a bank that credits you each morning with $86,400. Every evening, it deletes your balance. If you fail to use a penny of it, it's going to delete the balance. 12 o'clock, midnight, automatically, the balance becomes zero. The following morning, you get another 86,400. Now, if you had that kind of a bank, and I'm looking for one, if you had that kind of a bank, what would you do? If you had that kind of money coming in, you know that at midnight is going to be wiped off, you would invest, use that money wisely, and make sure not a cent remains at 11:59, that you've cleared it all and use it in the best way that you can. Well, you do have such a bank. And that bank is called the Time Bank. Every morning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala credits us with 86,400 seconds. Every morning. Carries no balance, does not allow any overdraft, and each day we open a new account. Well, if you fail to use those 86,400 seconds that you have been blessed with every day, then you have not invested your time in the way that you do. And truly, to really get a perception, I just want everybody to look at their watch for just 15 seconds. Maybe in the interest of time, just 5 seconds. Let's look at our watches for 5 seconds. Normally, a speaker doesn't want people looking at their watches. I'm asking you to look at your watch for 5 seconds. Let's pause, take a deep breath, and look at our watches for just 5 seconds. Do you know that 5 seconds that you've been watching your watch is never going to come back? It's gone. It is absolutely gone. There is no, it's no more. It's perished. This is how valuable time is. Every second, you know, every breath that we take is a step towards death. This is the reality of our existence. If we were that conscious of the time that we have, the clock of age is reducing our life by the tick of every passing second. And just to make this a little lighter, if you want to realize the value of 1 week, ask the editor of a weekly newspaper and he'll tell you. To realize the value of 1 hour, ask Laila and Majnun, who are waiting for each other, or Shiri or Farhad, whatever your culture actually looks at. That when they wait for each other for 1 hour, what is the value of that? To realize the value of 1 year, ask a student who failed a grade. To realize the value of 1 month, ask a mother who gave birth to a premature baby. This is the value of time. To realize the value of 1 minute, ask a person who just missed a train. To realize the value of 1 second, ask a person who just avoided an accident. It's a second. If you're there in the wrong place, you know what happens. And to realize the value of 1 millisecond, ask the person who won the silver medal in the Olympics. That's how valuable time is, my friends. So, and the other thing is that sometimes we keep going back. The idea is to live in the present. Yes, you learn from the past. Mullah Nasruddin was riding his donkey backwards. And somebody says, Mullah, is this a way to ride a donkey? He said, you know, it's just that I'm more interested in where I'm coming from than where I'm going. And that's why I'm riding the donkey backwards. We keep looking backwards many a times. Well, yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery you don't know. Today is a gift. The idea of being and living in the present, living the moment, and being totally present, that's why it's called the present. When you think about it, the idea of living. But what happens is that we are so engrossed. And again, I take support from the words of the Blessed Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said that one who wakes up with his whole attention directed towards the world is cut off from God, and God shall make four qualities accompany him. We wake up in the morning, the fajr is done very quickly and we are off. And we have no other thought. It's the attention being directed to the worldly affairs. The Blessed Prophet says, number one, endless sorrow. Four qualities, he says, will accompany him. Endless sorrow, never-ending occupation. Have you found this? I'll be 65, I'm going to retire. We haven't been able to retire. Something happened. I'll be 45, I'll be able to take it easy, give more time for my children. I'll take more vacations. I wasn't able to do it. Never-ending occupation, because something or other comes up. And he says, a neediness which is never relieved, never ever relieved. It's always something to do, always something to get, always something to acquire. It's a neediness. Sometimes it's a perception, sometimes it's a real need. But it's a neediness that's never relieved. And the Blessed Prophet said, a hope which is never achieved. So the idea of being totally focused on the dunya as we understand it is something, these are not my words, these are the words of the Blessed Prophet, and we need to be mindful. So, time is moving on and time is of the essence, and so it is here. And we have promised to this audience that we will start and finish exactly on time. And that's the value of time. It's respecting everybody else's time. Because time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. But you know what? Once you've lost it, you can never get it back. So, as we go through, and this is a matter of building communities, that it's time to act. You know, that's why NASA was able to put a man on the moon. NASA's symbol and NASA's slogan was, do it right now. If there's something worth doing, let us not procrastinate. So it's time to act, from making excuses to providing ideas, from focusing on faults to finding solutions. We are developing as a community, from blaming others to analyzing ourselves. This is part and parcel of self-development. From making mere promises to fulfilling commitments. From letting things happen to making things happen. And from the shackles of the past to look at the possibilities of the future. And indeed, this is something that we need to understand, and I'm moving on fast because time does not wait for anyone, that our lives must be part of a larger story. The larger story is being taught to us by Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, that socialize with people in such a way that when you die, they mourn for you, and when you live, they desire your company. Because ultimately we are all going to be in the same company. Because each soul is going to taste death. A visitor goes to Basra and meets Ibrahim bin Adam, and he asks him, where do people in Basra congregate? You know, we go to a new place, and we say, where is the action? Where do people congregate? So he said, those who are here in the city must come together here, meaning at the cemetery, and those who are here in the graveyard will never go back there. And this is where, you know, we are going to all end up. And truly, this is the meaning of managing that level of time. And when we are told, and Allah swears by time, to say man is in a state of loss, is that because we have not valued the capital of life. You know, when you lose your capital, you cannot start a business again. If you lose your profits, you can do something. But capital, the basis that you have, this is life's capital. And we pray to Allah that He gives us the tawfiq to be able to value the time that we have. And indeed do something with our time as was done by the martyrs in Karbala. They valued their lives. They valued the best that there was. And they were spending time. For example, on the night of Ashur, before the battle was to begin the following day, it is said that there were sounds of prayers and zikr coming out from the camp of Hussein as if it was a buzzing of the bees. This was the last night of their lives. And they were using that time for that zikr. And it was at that time, it is said, that Imam alayhi salam was dividing the different weapons to different people, and he keeps one spear on the side. And when people asked him, they say, "Who is that for?" And he said, "This is for a friend of mine who is going to come." And indeed, he had written a letter to Habib ibn Mazahir, his childhood friend. It was the same Habib when they were playing in the street of Medina as young boys. The Blessed Prophet picks up Habib ibn Mazahir and fondly looks at him, pats his back and says, "One day, Habib, you will come to the aid of Hussein." This time had come. And Imam alayhi salam writes a letter to Habib, who was in Kufa. And Habib took some time to come because it was not easy to leave Kufa. By that time, Bibi Zainab salamullahi alayha was asking to say that all these enemy soldiers are coming in by the thousands. And Imam says that when there is falsehood, many people follow. There are very few who actually follow the truth. But we are on the path of the truth. And Habib arrives. When Habib ibn Mazahir arrives ultimately, it is Bibi Zainab salamullahi alayha who sends her salams to Habib ibn Mazahir. And Habib says, "What day has come that the daughter of Fatima sends salams to a person like me?" Mumineen, Habib fights valiantly. I don't have that eloquence to describe the war and the valiant. This 8-year-old man was able to fight a battle. Suffice it to say that when he breathed his last, Imam goes up to him and rests Habib ibn Mazahir. But Habib's head was not to rest, Mumineen. It is said that when the caravan was continuing to go towards Sham, there was a little boy who was following the head of Habib ibn Mazahir. All the other heads had been put on spears. There was one head that was actually tied, it is said, to the back of the horse. And this boy continued to follow that head. And when the person asked him to say, "Why are you following me? Why are you following this horse?" He said, "That is the head of my father. Can you please give it back to me so that I am able to bury the head?" Mumineen, perhaps the soul of Habib ibn Mazahir would have said to his son, to say, "Oh my son, you are worried about burying my head. What about the head of Sayyid al-Shuhada and all the other Shuhada who are on spears?" Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un.